There ought to always be in our hearts this desire and willingness to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek."
Hello, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church. I want to thank you for joining us for our podcast today. And it's my prayer that the teaching and preaching from the Word of God will encourage and challenge you to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. May God richly bless you as you open your heart now to the Word of God.
As one reads Matthew chapter 9 and catches a glimpse of our Lord's Galilean ministry, you immediately see the compassion of the Lord for people. Every village, every synagogue, people in need, people that were in need of healing, and more than anything, people who needed a personal relationship with God. And it's a wonderful thing to read the Gospels and just sense the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things we have tried to achieve in our ministry and work at constantly is to have a balance as a ministry. And we try to balance in so many areas of the ministry. I think of with respect to our youth ministries, we try to balance having rules and having loving relationships. And I think of our outreach ministries and soul winning. We try to balance having soul winning with discipleship. And I think of the pulpit ministry. We try to balance having preaching with teaching. And it's kind of like a car that gets out of alignment. Every once in a while, you have to take it into a shop and you have to get that thing lined up so it's not wobbling. And we've always tried to have a ministry that has a biblical balance. But I've also said over the years, if we had to be out of balance in one area, I'd rather be out of balance toward the area of soul winning. If someone had to accuse this church of being just overboard about something or always harping on something, I'd gladly stand guilty of trying to just always emphasize helping people to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Helping people to know that there is a way to escape hellfire and there is a way to have a home in heaven. And I don't believe our ministry is out of balance in that sense, but if we have seasons that are intentionally in that vein, then glory to God for every single soul that trusts Christ as their Savior. And I don't merely believe in the concept of soul winning or witnessing. I truly believe it's the heart of God for His local church that the local New Testament church be a getting saved place, a place where people can know how to prepare for eternity. I remember years ago, I was 21 years old, and I was asked to preach at a church on the subject of the possibilities of evangelism through the bus ministry. And, you know, it didn't matter really back then what or where I was preaching about. I mean, I just wanted to go preach. And so they gave me that assigned topic, the possibilities of evangelism through the bus ministry. And it was, come to find out, something like a pastor and a church that were interested in exploring the possibilities of evangelism. They hadn't come to a point of decision yet. They hadn't crossed that big threshold of buying a bus and knocking on a door. I mean, that was something they were considering, but they wanted me to speak about the possibilities of it. Boy, I spoke. I mean, I waxed eloquent. I spoke about the possibilities of evangelism and told them how my wife got saved through bus ministry. And I preached about going out into the highways and hedges, compelling people to come in. And I did absolutely everything I could to explain that the bus ministry is one tool that can be used to bring people into the Savior. And there was only one problem with the message. And the basic problem was the people listening were not very interested in what was being said. There wasn't a man in the room apparently interested in giving up some time to knock on some doors and drive a bus. There wasn't enough interest in paying for the gas for the bus. And there was a tentative pastor hoping that maybe someone in the church would get the idea rather than saying, "This is what God has really laid on my heart to explore and to accomplish for the glory of God." Well, folks, I got to tell you something. We're past the exploration mode. We've disbanded any committees, if there ever would have been a committee, that was trying to decide whether soul winning is important or the bus ministry is important or whether we should have a missions conference. Because the fact is, when it comes to reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the attitude of this church ought always to be, "I'm in. Count me in. I want to be a part of that. I want to help the missionaries. I'm glad we have buses. I want to carry gospel tracts. I'm in because God has called me. And that's what we want to learn first and foremost this morning, or this evening rather, is the call of the soul winner. This is a call that has been given. Now we can quote many different scriptures. I think most of you would be aware of them. Jesus spoke to his disciples and said, go into all the world. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And we believe that that early collective assembly of disciples was not just the apostles in training, but they represented a called out assembly. They were a picture for us of a local New Testament church. And Jesus was saying, I want all of you to be involved in going out and telling others. Now, the call of the soul winner, now just to think of it briefly for a moment. First of all, there is a call from without. And all of us need to hear this. We need to get the earplugs out tonight and hear it tonight. There is a call that comes to every believer from without. And that call is made from the Word of God to all of us, from the Lord Jesus Christ to all of us. In fact, Jesus said in this passage here in Matthew 9, he said, pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers. The Lord of the harvest is looking tonight for laborers. He is looking tonight for men and women who will see Lockheed, who will see the sheriff station, who will see the realty office, wherever you might be, not as simply a place of employment, but as a harvest field of people who need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of this past Sunday, and I thank God, one of the dear ladies of our church, and she's heavily involved in a particular enterprise and business, and has been under the ministry here for probably close to 20 years, and knows my heart and my philosophy about not trying to bring a lot of business into the church and making this the place of business, so to speak, in that sense. And she got involved in a type of business that would involving others. But I'm going to tell you what I saw Sunday morning with this dear lady. She might be here tonight. I saw her in the second service on the front row with 5 first-time visitors to this church. God bless her. I hope she makes lots of money this year, because I'll tell you what she's doing. She's seeking first the kingdom of God. She's saying, I'm not just going to invite them to do the business I do. I'm going to invite them to know the master of my life and of my business. And she's had several of her friends saved in the last few weeks. And I believe part of that's because she's heard the call from God. She's heard the call from without. And Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other 2 brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the ship and their father, and they followed him. Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. And we understand the necessity of discipleship and following the Lord and walking in the Spirit. And when we're following the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to be fishers of men. It's the call from without. Jesus said it. Follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. He did not save us so that we can sit on our blessed assurance and thank God we're saved. He saved us so that we can go out and tell other people how we were saved. There's a call from without. And I hope you hear it tonight. I hope you hear it when you read the Word of God. Look, it's not just some church thing. It's not just some leadership thing. It's from Jesus Christ tonight. It's a call upon our lives from the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, secondly, there is also a call from within. There's a call from within. And maybe you've heard this. That is the call that comes from the Holy Spirit. That's the call that is from within. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, Jesus said, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And I want to challenge you, as I did Sunday night, to listen to the Holy Spirit and to walk in the Spirit, because there's organized soul winning times, and those are helpful for those of us that need to get scheduled things, because scheduled things get done. But there's also the matter of being Spirit led wherever we are, letting the Lord use us to just say, hey, by the way, I'll tell you where you could hear some answers about those things you're talking about. I'll tell you what, I'd like to invite you to Lancaster Baptist Church this Sunday. I'll save you a seat. I'll take you to in and out afterwards. Let's have a good time together. Come and be my guest. And just when the Lord puts that on your heart, and just be spontaneous about it and obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit who's living within you. And it's just a blessing to follow the leadership of the Lord. I was out the other day just on a Friday afternoon knocking on some doors, and knocked on a man's door that I'd knocked on several years ago at another house. And put him down on the prospect list, and I'm praying to see him come. And it may be the Lord leads you that way, to go out and knock on the door of someone in the neighborhood. It may be at work. It may be a friend, like I said a moment ago, at business. But how many of you believe the Holy Spirit is always witnessing? And how many of you believe He's always trying to talk to us and remind us about these things? He absolutely is. The question is, do we hear the call? Do we hear the call? There's a call from without. There's a call from within. Jeremiah felt that. Then said I, in Jeremiah 29, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more of his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire set up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. In other words, friend, let me just be honest with you. If you're saved and you're thankful that you're saved and you're glad that you're saved, you cannot go any great length of time without telling someone else that you're glad you're saved. It's just that simple. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, I don't know what's going on in your life lately, but I know you're going to talk about it. I don't know if you have maybe a son that does well in football, or a daughter that's not feeling well, or something good that you like that's a product that you really enjoy, or maybe there's something that is a trial in your life. Oftentimes when we have trials or sickness, we like to talk about it. At least I do. I like to share it with my wife and my girls especially. The boys aren't as sympathetic, but if I've got something that hurts, I like to explain it, how it hurts, and it doesn't really matter what it is. Normally, a back rub helps it some way, shape, or form. And I like to talk about those things that are on my mind. That's just human nature. But you know, I believe when we're really thinking about the Lord Jesus as we should, we're going to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with talking about football, but I'm going to tell you right now, that will not matter a dime's worth of difference in eternity. It's not going to matter who won the football game last week. Talk about it to get the conversation going for Christ. But there ought to always be in our hearts this desire and willingness to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And we have a lot of closet Christians tonight who need to come out of the closet and not be ashamed. And it ought not to be a secret where you work and where you live that you are a Christ follower, that you love the Lord Jesus Christ, and that anybody who knows you for any length of time is going to at least hear about that if they'll stand still and know, because you hear a call from without. And there's a call from within. And so the call of the soul winner tonight, it's not a matter of the fact that there's no call. It's a matter that many times we do not listen. Notice secondly tonight, as we consider this matter of being ready for the Master's use in soul winning, let's notice secondly the convictions of a soul winner. The convictions of a soul winner. Now, convictions are like the spark plugs in the engine that fire the motor. And you find a lot of times, if you have ever had a car that had a couple spark plugs that weren't working right or they were real dirty, how many of you have ever had a car like that? You know what I'm talking about. And you fire it up, it's like making, it's just making a lot of noise, and you put the gas pedal down and it kind of sputters out, and it's just, and you take it into shop or you lift the hood if you know how to work on cars, and they say, this spark plug's bad and this one's corroded, and then they replace them. Boy, all of a sudden now you're firing up again and you're going and things are much better. Now, when you have convictions, you go forward in the Christian life. When you have some convictions about the matters that we're speaking tonight, there's going to become an involvement. And your belief will always determine your behavior. And your convictions will always determine the level of your cooperation. And so tonight, when we look at the Word of God, we see some of the basic convictions of the soul winner that will bring an urgency in our lives to the harvest. Now, Jesus said in this passage in Matthew 9:37, He said, "The harvest truly is plenteous, and the laborers are few." The Lord is illustrating for us the necessity of the harvest. And He certainly understood that. But there's some convictions that we need to share if we're going to understand and be involved like we should. Now, the first level of convictions are regarding eternity. There's got to be some convictions in our heart, square one, about eternity. And I will be honest with you, sometimes I wonder, does the average Christian today really believe in eternity? Folks, is there a hell? Remember years ago I went to a preaching conference and I really don't really remember a lot about the conference, what I learned. In fact, it was one of those conferences that it was kind of a marathon just sitting through all the sessions and getting in and out and so forth. But I do remember one message, and I don't know that it was a great expositional message. I don't remember all the points. I just remember the question. Is there a hell? I want to say the year was 1986, March of 1986, just prior to my becoming the pastor of this church. I have a New Testament in my car tonight that I carry with me when I go soul winning. And I remember purchasing that New Testament and writing in the flyleaf of that New Testament, this New Testament is dedicated to my personal soul winning efforts because there is a hell. And I always believed in hell, but that night it seemed as though the Holy Spirit was embedding within my heart a deeper conviction that there is a place called heaven and hell. And so there will be an eternal life for some people in hell, Revelation 20:15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I think we have to come back to that. And I know it's not socially acceptable. And I know it's not something that the average ecumenical service is going to emphasize. You don't hear a lot of preaching about hell in these days. But just getting right down to the brass tacks of the matter tonight, we had better have some convictions in our heart about the fact that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And those without Christ, the Bible says, if their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they'll be cast into a lake of fire. Now, we can try to rationalize that all we want, but we need to come to a place of believing the Bible once again. Eternal life for some will be in hell. Secondly, eternal life for some, thank God, will be where? In heaven. I hope you have that conviction tonight. And it's funny how a lot of times people mess around with this stuff their whole life long, and boy, when there's terminal illness, though, they want to get it straight. I see this over and over again. I'm thinking right now of a man who a couple men now, who weren't hardly in church at all, and I really didn't know them. Then they showed up, and I found out that they had terminal cancer, and thank God with both cases, they accepted Christ. I baptized them, and they're both in heaven today. I'm telling you, when someone is facing death, you get some convictions about these things. And the fact of the matter is, all of our life is but a vapor. And we need to have convictions about the fact that there is a heaven, there is a hell. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Notice this. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Listen, we need to have some convictions about heaven. We need to have in our heart a belief that there is hope in heaven. There is hope through the Lord Jesus Christ. I read recently that 63% of all Christians in America today became Christians at the age of 18 or under. And I'm going to tell you, folks, don't ever get the idea, well, I just teach fifth graders, you know. I just work with children. You know what? Some of you are working in the fertile harvest field of junior church and the fertile harvest field of junior high church. And thank God that young people hear the Word of God and they believe the Word of God. But you know, the Bible says in Ephesians 5 and verse 1, "Be ye followers of God as dear children." Let's say that together. As dear children. God says, I want you to have a heart like a little child to believe and have convictions regarding eternity. May I say, secondly, have convictions regarding salvation through Jesus Christ. I know this is very basic, But again, we can accept that culturally and not accept it practically in our everyday living. Years ago, when I was in the ninth grade, I was in a teen singing group. And we were good. I'll never forget that. It was down at Central Baptist Church of Pomona. And they had all of us teenagers. And back then, some of you remember, that was back in the day of leisure suits. How many remember leisure suits? And I'm telling you what, I had a powder blue leisure suit that would knock them dead. I'm telling you right now, it was big time. And all the guys had powder blue leisure suits. I have no idea what kind of outfits the girls had, but so our youth director taught us some songs, and then we went to some different churches in Southern California. And we would sing, and we never cut a record or anything. They just never saw our full talent, I don't think, or ability. But there's a song that we used to sing, and I think we have sung it here. And the name of the song was simply, Jesus is still the answer. Jesus is still the answer. And though time and ages roll, Jesus is still the answer. He's the answer for your soul. And though some may say he doesn't fit with their philosophy, I know Jesus is still the answer. He's always been and always will be. Now, a few suits and a little less hair later, Jesus is still the answer. And some of you need to come back to that fact that you trusted Christ as your Savior. But guess what? Jesus is still the answer tonight. And regarding Christ, it's got to be a conviction in our heart. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. You say, oh, Pastor, you don't realize I've been to cultural sensitivity training at work, and I've got to be very careful not to act like there's only one way to heaven. No. Don't let the liberal agenda of today's society water down your convictions. Say, well, you know, I don't want to be... Don't be like Joel Osteen on the Larry King show. Joel Osteen, an imposter of a preacher, was on the Larry King show, and he was there being interviewed and smiling and blinking away like this and talking to Larry King. And Larry King just simply said, now, Joel, let me ask you, are you saying that someone has to believe like you believe from the Bible in order to go to heaven? Is that what you believe, Joel? Now, I wouldn't say that, Larry. Well, what about the Mormons, he said? Well, now, they believe in Jesus. I think last time I checked, they believe in Jesus. You know, fact of the matter is, they may have a big crowd at Joel's church, but if they believe what their preacher believes, they're not on their way to heaven tonight. Look, we have a conviction at this church that there is one way to heaven, and it's not the way tonight of the broad path. There is one way, and that way is through Jesus Christ. Listen, we've got to stay with those convictions and be so very careful that our hearts do not grow cold and that we don't say, well, you know, I was excited about it when I was younger and first got in the church and stuff. But no, that's why we have a time like the fall season and a month like this to kind of remember what it's all about and some signups. And that's why we have our missions conference. And that's why we want to keep running those buses. A lot of times I'll talk to our police officers. They'll say, you know, Pastor, I was in one of the roughest areas of town the other day, and I was taking care of a problem there, a call we had. And by the way, there were Lancaster Baptist Church tracks on the door. You know what I say? Praise God for that. There ought to be a church that goes to the tough areas and the difficult places and finds those that are struggling in their sin and tries to rescue the perishing and care for the dying. Not to be embarrassed you're a part of something like that. You got to thank God you're a part of something like that. The convictions of a soul winner, you see. May I say thirdly tonight, we must have the compassion of a soul winner. Compassion of a soul winner. How many of you thank God for His compassion tonight? Well, I do. Psalm 86:15. But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering and plenteous mercy and truth. How we thank God that He's a compassionate God. And tonight I just want to challenge you in this matter of compassion. First, we need to have compassion to pray. Compassion enough to pray. Did you see that in verse 38? It says in verse 36, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. In verse 38, he said, "Pray ye therefore." In other words, like my heart is burdened, then would you pray it like this? Would you have a burdened heart, a compassionate heart? "Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." I want to tell you, this is the one prayer request that Jesus gives to us to pray for. He didn't say, be sure to pray for your favorite team to win. And he didn't say, here's the saint for the bowler, and here's the saint for the football, and here's the saint for your pet. And all the rest of the nonsense we hear about in the Roman traditions, Jesus didn't institute that. But there's one thing he did tell us to pray about. And here it is. He said, "Fellas, would you join me in praying the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth some more laborers?" I'll tell you what. And I just sent a letter today to some seniors in high school. And I actually it's going to be an email. And I just told them, and a couple of us around here keep lists, and we pray for these young people. And I said, "I just want you to know, during your senior year, there's going to be some of us praying that as you consider what to do with your life, you'd consider giving your life to the Lord's work and maybe coming to West Coast Baptist College." And we pray for these young people like these here. And we pray that they'll get here. And then when they get here, we pray that they can get a job and that they can stay pure and that they can get their education. Listen, we've got to pray people into the ministry. We've got to pray ourselves into the ministry. And as a pastor, I pray, "Lord, help our church family, help our staff, help our deacons not to get where they used to do that. Help our faithful members for a long time not to grow hard-hearted, Lord. Help us not to be like the first church that used to be involved. Help us to keep it real and alive in our heart right now today." You see, we've got to pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers. And this is so vital. Jesus said, I want you to carry this with me. I want you to share this burden with me. And notice, secondly, we need to have compassion to plan. Compassion to plan. You see, when you really get involved and caring about something, you begin to allocate resources towards that. Now, it may be that you're really, you know, involved in a particular hobby, and I'm not criticizing, I'm just saying, you may love golf. And I have some friends that love golf. They have a certain kind of golf ball they buy. And I'll hit that kind of golf ball if they let me hit their golf ball. But I'm telling you right now, you talk about poor stewardship. Poor stewardship for me is hitting a brand new expensive golf ball. Because all I do is put them over in the pond so the guy can go get them 6 months later when he's diving. But I have some friends that they want to have just this right equipment. Some people do that with hunting or fishing or whatever things they like to do. They're passionate about it. So they plan according to their passion. Now, the fact of the matter is that when we have compassion, like Jesus is speaking of here, we're going to make time. We're going to allocate resources to fulfill that passion, that burning desire within our hearts. There's a lot of evil passion in the world today. A lot of people spend a lot of money on wicked things. And even during the recession, the pornographic industry is growing and growing because people are passionate about this. And people in the middle of the recession are packing out the brand new Dallas Cowboys Stadium because they're passionate about this. Now, I'm just simply saying, if we get to the place where we're passionate about the burden that Jesus has asked us to bear, we're going to allocate some resources to that passion. See, Mark 6:34, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." I mean, Jesus saw the need, and then he took the lead. He got involved in their lives and giving them what they needed. And when we think about planning and having compassion to plan, let me give you two aspects of that. First, we need to plan our time according to our compassion or according to our passion. Psalm says in Psalm 126, verse 5, "They that sow in tears shall reap in what?" In other words, If you have enough of a burden and some compassion, and you go out and you say, hey, I'm from Lancaster Baptist Church, and I just wanted to give you this, invite you to our church. And by the way, you know, more than church, do you have a relationship with the Lord? Or have you ever thought about these things, and you're talking with someone, and many times that someone can sense if you're real. And many times if they don't speak to you right then, they're going to come back later. And the Bible says, they that sow in tears, people who really care, will reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. How many of you believe the Bible is precious seed? Bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Look, you've got to plan some time to sow the seed. They that sow in tears, and you go back to the farms and you talk to the farmers, and if they've had a good harvest, it all began with allocating their time and with being willing to invest their money in seed in order that they could sow that seed down and do what God had called them to do in the sowing of the seed. And I'm simply saying tonight that whether it's in buying gospel tracts, or whether it's in paying some gas to go soul winning, or as we have tonight, a team of young people singing in Japan and 8 different military churches and getting them over there and printing up some Bibles and all of these different things, or whether it's helping with the school in El Salvador, all of these things require that we would plan time and that we would allocate resources, and sometimes that we would give of ourselves or of our family members to go, so that other people can know what Jesus Christ has done for them. And when you get compassionate about something, you invest yourself into that something. I was thinking this past week about a lady in our church named Juanita Bishop. I think Brother Rick is working tonight, but that was Brother Rick's mom, Juanita. I'll never forget when Juanita came to our church. I won't tell the whole story, but she came to me one day in the North Auditorium, and she'd been visiting, and she said, excuse me, Pastor Chapel, I'd like to speak to you. And she said, now, I was saved years ago. I can't remember the state right offhand. I want to say it might have been Arkansas, but somewhere back there. And she said, I was saved and baptized, and I've been a member of a Southern Baptist church, she said. And she said, recently my church has changed. They don't call it Baptist anymore. They just call it The Rock. Some of you remember that church. And they sold their property and became the Taco Bell. Some of you remember the story. You've been here a while. God forbid that this church would ever become a Taco Bell. That's what happened. We might allow an In-N-Out burger on the campus, but the church is going to be the church, ladies and gentlemen. And she was telling me that whole story. And she said, you know, the songs they sing, they got this band, the guys just banging on stuff. And she said, I don't understand it. And she said, I bring my friends, they don't give an altar call. And she said, I know I'm new and I'm not from an independent Baptist church, but could I be a member here? And I said, ma'am, if God's leading you, we'd love to have you as a member. And I mean to tell you what, she flat got on fire for God. She was probably in her early 70s already at that time. I remember just distinctly the first time she came out soul winning a few weeks later. I remember she walked up to the table and she said, now, last time they just gave me, this first time I saw her, she said, last time they just gave me one of these maps with a little highlight right here. She said, now, I'm retired. She said, give me a couple of those maps like that. I've got extra time. How many of you could imagine Rick Bishop being related? And I'm telling you what, she was a soul winner. She said to me, would you pray for my grandson, Jeff? And she said he wants to get married to a girl named Mary Lee. And long story short, a few weeks later after that, we had the privilege of seeing them saved and seeing them married. And we had the privilege then of seeing her son and his wife, and they got saved. We had the privilege of seeing several others get saved. And I think probably a dozen or more that we could name if we stopped tonight that were saved because of a 70-some-year-old woman who had the compassion of Jesus in her heart and just gave time. And she gave Bibles to her family and invited her family and wept for her family and cared for her family. And God used her to make a difference. And I'm saying we've got to plan some time in the next several weeks in a special way to say, here am I, Lord, use me. I want you to use me. Spanish department last Saturday had 253 soul winners. 253 people who could have been doing some other things. And there were several hundred others here, of course. But But 253 people went out and talking to friends and talking to neighbors. And last Sunday, 44 adult precious souls accepted Christ as their Savior. Just because of people that got compassionate about it. I'm saying simply that 2 weeks from this Saturday, we have our open house calling. We need to think in terms of, Lord, give me that burden. And Lord, help me to plan some time for that entire week and maybe that Saturday. And Lord, who is it that I can have? And this Sunday we'll begin to pass some of the material out for that. And we need to be praying about that and allocating time and resources. Then let me just say very quickly, we need to plan our presentation. We're talking about being ready tonight. And we need to be thinking in terms of, if I were to speak to someone, what would I say to them? How would I say it? And sometime, we'll not take the time at length tonight, but in John chapter 4, there's the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And the woman of Samaria said unto Jesus in John 4:9, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans? And Jesus said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. I put a little something in your notes tonight, a couple things. I want you to take them out because we're talking about being ready for the Master's use. And just two things there. The first one says, practical steps in presenting salvation, the plan of salvation. And let me just give you a few quick thoughts tonight as you're passing a gospel track or talking to friends. Let me just say, every day we need to pray for the leading of the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about salesmanship. We're not talking about convincing someone against their will. We're just saying, Spirit of the living God, direct me, fill me, help me to be able to know when to say what you want me to say. And then as you get out soul winning, or you're at work and it's at lunchtime, introduce yourself and perhaps you will talk about football or the weather or whatever in general terms. And then you're just praying as you're talking to someone, Lord, would you open the door for me? Lord, if you'll open that door, I'm going to walk through it. And see every conversation as a potential soul-winning opportunity. Amen? Everyone. I don't have a beef with someone who's got their kid in soccer as long as they're talking to all the other soccer moms about Jesus. It's no problem. You have little side business here and there. Look, but let's use those opportunities to talk about Jesus. And you see, we need to look for that way to move that. Sometimes it may just be as simple as your testimony, and they're saying about some things that have happened in their lives. You say, you know, I'll tell you something that happened to me, and you might think this sounds a little nutty or whatever, but just an amazing thing. About 7 years ago, or 15 or 20, whatever it was, and I was working here and doing this and that. I had a friend that kept bugging me about church, and I went once, and then I heard, and you know, it began to sink in on me that I really couldn't get to heaven on my own. I personally believe there's a heaven. I believe that Jesus Christ died, and you could tell them how you came to that place when you accepted Christ as your Savior. You know, one of the best tools in soul winning is just telling your own personal testimony. Telling someone how you got saved. Perhaps you could ask them, by the way, Bob, let me ask you a question. Not trying to put you on the spot or whatever, but do you believe if you died that you would spend eternity in heaven? Have you ever thought about that? By the way, if they say, I don't know. If they're not really sure, the next thing I always do is just ask for a few minutes. I normally ask people for a few minutes about 20 times before they get saved. Could I have a few minutes to share with that? Tell you a little bit about it. I'll take a few minutes. Normally I'll say again, could I have a few minutes? I'll show this to you and this to you. And do you have a few more minutes? And I ask them their permission. Could I just take a few minutes of your time and show you from the Bible? Boy, if they'll let you, then you take that time and you begin to present the gospel to someone. And if they get saved, make a record of it. I like to write it down on a tract or a little business card or something and give it to someone as a memory of the decision they've made. And I like to write down their name and address. This year for our open house Sunday, we're going to ask you to get their email. And we're going to email everyone that is interested on Saturday. We're going to email them. Thanks for talking to us this week. And don't forget, tomorrow's a special day. And we want to encourage people to know the Lord. And invite them to sit with you in services on Sunday. Maybe you go through some verses, but they say, well, you know, they're kind of getting uncomfortable. Say, all right, look, I'm not the preacher. I was just sharing some stuff with you. But would you think about coming to church with me this Sunday? I want you to, you can sit with me. I want you to be my guest. Just have a plan. We have a good group, I think over 100 folks right now, with Brother Furso in the other building. And he's teaching them basic things about the plan. And many of you have had that training. And we need to be ready at any time to share those eternal truths. And by the way, take that other little sheet out. Whenever you meet somebody like that, whether you go through the verses, whether you see them saved or whatever, this little sheet of paper here, friends and acquaintances who need Christ. This is something that I carry with me, something many others. You can hole punch this and put it in your day timer. And you meet somebody at lunch, you meet somebody at the store, and you jot their name down. Begin to pray for them. Maybe have their number, call them up later. You don't have to pester them, but you also should not forget them. I think a man right now, David, I knocked on his door Saturday morning. And he was very kind to me, and he, frankly, I woke him up. It's a miracle that he was kind to me. He came to the door and kind of like opened his eyes. Man, I said, I'm sorry I woke you up. And then I always want to say, what are you doing in bed at 11 o'clock anyways? But I never do say that. But I jot his name down on one of these right here. And probably not at 11 next time, maybe 11:10 next time. But guess what? I'm going back. And I'm praying for the opportunity so that there might be. I knocked on a man's door, lady's door Saturday, and she was Filipino. And she spoke some English, but it was very broken English. And so we knocked the rest of the street, and here came Brother Huffmaster with some teenagers, and they've been visiting a teenager. And I said, hey, Brother Huffmaster, I said, can you still speak some Tagalog or some dialect? You got the gift of tongues, whatever. And I said, that lady right there, would you go talk to her? And I think maybe you could have a little more word with her. She was friendly and let her know about the church. And what I'm saying is when you meet people, jot their name down. And remember that these are divine appointments. And we want to remember those, that God doesn't bring people in our pathway by accident. He has a reason for bringing these people into our lives. And so we want to have a plan in order that we might reach them with the gospel. Now let me close with this. The only thing that you and I are going to take to heaven are the souls of people that we've been able to witness to. Now, we're not physically taking them. It's the Lord bringing them. But you've heard this many times, but it bears repeating. I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer. Look it. You're not going to take your soccer trophies to heaven. We have people in this church who have hole-in-one trophies. Does that make you sick or what? One day, I'd like to have a hole-in-one trophy. A lot of times I pray for it, but I don't have good prayer power. Because it never gets close. But we have people who have hole-in-one trophies. We have a Mrs. Lane, Bob Lane's wife, has 3 hole-in-one trophies. Something wrong with that. A lady has 3. Some of us lame guys can't get 1. You know what? We're not going to take those trophies to heaven. There's just one thing that gets to go. That's the redeemed. People who've accepted Christ as their Savior. I'm going to tell you what. When we see Jesus and when we see people in heaven that were touched through this ministry and that we had a part in bringing to Christ, how many of you believe it will be worth it all? It will be worth it all. Let me show you what the Bible says. There's many verses, but just 2. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Our hole-in-one trophy. That's what it is. Is that what it is? No. No. Paul says, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? What is it that gets him excited? Read the rest with me, please. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? Amen. Listen, you know, he says, you know what's going to get me tickled one day is, and what my real crown of rejoicing is, he says, when the Lord's coming, and I look around, and there you are, and there you are, and there you are, and there you are. That's the crown of rejoicing right there. People that I had the privilege, Paul says, of sharing the gospel with. Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my, what's he say? Crown. You see, friends, what it really boils down to is what matters most. Well, what mattered most to Jesus, I think we know. You and me and this lost world. And what should matter most to us, the compassion of the soul winner, is that we would remember the call of the Lord Jesus Christ and reach the lost while we can.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.